So I want to start tonight by giving metta, loving kindness, some context within the larger sense of the Buddha's teachings. Metta being one of four practices called the Brahma Viharas. Brahma Viharas means like noble abodes, where we live nobly, where we live with an open and warm heart. And I want to start just by reading a very small section from the Majjhima This is one of those teachings where the Buddha is describing the progressive phases that people go through as they practice and come to deeper realizations. And at this point, he's describing metta and what it's like to have a heart full of metta. He abides pervading one quarter with a mind imbued with loving kindness. Likewise, the second, likewise, the third. Likewise, the fourth. So above, below, around, and everywhere, and to all as to himself, he abides pervading the all-encompassing world with a mind imbued with loving kindness, abundant, exalted, immeasurable, without hostility, and without ill will. So this first section about the four quarters means in all directions. It's a poetic way of saying all directions, above, below. It covers all. There are forms of this practice where people actually stand and face the four directions and then look up and look down. If you ever wanted to sort of have a sort of a physical connection to the practice in that way, you can play with that. But I think with what's really, and then he says, of course, to all as to himself, don't forget yourself. Very important, but it keeps reminding us of that. And then he uses these words, abundant, exalted, and immeasurable. Abundant mean there's always enough. If we're truly operating from a place of loving kindness, there's always enough. We'll never run out. You can't sort of use up your quota of loving kindness for the day. It's just there all the time. It's abundant. It's exalted. So it's not only is it abundant, but exalted is sort of like uplifting. It's holy almost would be another word for that. I hesitate to use that word a little bit, but it's sort of within the Western context, it might be appropriate. It's like it feels somehow. In that sense, like I'm connected to something greater than myself. I'm connected to the whole world, right? And immeasurable. Once again, sort of like abundant, and it's like we can't measure how much metta there is in the world or how much metta we're capable of. It's immeasurable. And then, of course, without hostility and without ill will, just to remind us, oh yeah, by the way, watch that. So the interesting thing about this sutta is once he says this about metta. He then says this about exactly the same words, literally, which is common in the sutta, about the other three Brahma Viharas, which are, karuna, which is compassion, mudita, which is sympathetic joy, joy that we experience when we see others happy, and equanimity, upekkha, equanimity. And then here's the interesting thing about these four Brahma Viharas. And this is very much from the Theravada point of view. Basically, if you have a heart full of loving kindness and you encounter suffering in the world, compassion will naturally arise. Compassion arises because we have a heart full of loving kindness, we see suffering, compassion arises. So the proximate cause of compassion arising is having a heart full of loving kindness. Similarly, if you have a heart full of loving kindness and you encounter someone else or something else that is joyful, then you just naturally feel joy. Because the loving kindness, the heart full of loving kindness connects to that joy and it just expands it. It becomes even more abundant, right? And then equanimity is sort of like the process that holds the other three together. I used to be a mathematician, and I like to think of these four as like a tetrahedron, which is a four-sided object. All the sides are equal. And they're all sort of connected to each other and related to each other. And just that, you're looking at the thing from one side, oh, look, there's loving kindness. And then you sort of look around the corner, oh, there's one, so that they're all sort of there and connected and they flow back and forth and they support each other. I'll talk more about that as we go further into the teachings, but it's important that we sort of have a context, I guess, which is what I was trying to do for these teachings on metta. They're a part of a larger set of teachings that the Buddha emphasized many, many times. This is the heart practice of the Buddhist teachings. So at this point, we've been, like last week we talked about metta for self and how important that was. And it is. I mean, and we're going to make every time I practice with you, we're always going to do some metta for self. We always begin with that, connect in that way. But what we want to do is over the next, 6 weeks, sort of gradually expand the field of our metta in a sense. And we do this in this very formal way by choosing people who fit, in a sense, into certain categories. And the first category we add after we have self is something called the benefactor. This is always the next one because it is pretty much for almost everybody the easiest. And we're sort of easing our way into the teaching in a sense. So what's a benefactor? What do we mean when we say benefactor? Number one, it's someone we look up to. It's like they've done us good in our life. They've helped us in some really important way. That could be someone you work with who's been your leader and teacher, helped you learn things. It could be a teacher you encountered that just meant to change everything for you. It could be some relative, like an aunt who was always there for you all through your life, or grandpa or whatever. Just someone you have. It's like someone who you felt gave you a great deal of benefit. Now I'm waving the yellow warning flag here. This should not, I repeat, should not be a life partner. Life partners, we'll get to them eventually. But at this point, life partners, the relationship and the energy around having a partner is just too complex. We want to keep it simple. We want to keep it really simple. Just stick with the simple things. And the other thing is, it isn't like you have to go, I have to find the perfect person. Don't go there. It's all right. Just what we want to do is find someone who we sort of can relate to in that way, someone we can sort of tune into, someone in our life who ideally is still alive, because it's easier to connect with someone who's still alive. But if that's not possible, that's okay. But the ideal is to always have your benefactor and all the people in these other categories be someone you actually are is still around, has a body that's functioning. And you choose just one. This is also really important. The tendency, if you're not careful, is, oh, I got to include everybody. Oh, so I'm going to do this benefactor, and then tomorrow I'll do this other benefactor, and then the next day, I'll sort of cycle through all my favorite people. Don't do that. It's not about them. It's not like you're sending out these sweet thoughts of loving kindness and they're going to receive them. We're not, it's not about them. It's about your ability to connect to metta. That's what this practice is about. It's about connecting to our own heart mind and its innate capacity to have thoughts of loving kindness. And we choose the benefactor because it's someone we sort of naturally, well, we appreciate that they helped us out so much. So it's sort of natural in a sense that we have thoughts of loving kindness towards this person. But don't for one second think that somehow your thought waves are, going through the ether and this person's going to pick them up and, which comes to another thing that's really important. Don't pick someone thinking, oh, well, if I make them my benefactor, then, and then I'm going to tell them later how much I appreciate them and I'm going to get, you're going to get something. You're trying to, you want something from this person. Don't go there either. It's not about them. It's really important that we understand that all the way through this practice. This is about training our heart mind to more naturally, more easily, more often connect the thoughts of loving kindness for all beings. And we start with the benefactor because it's simple. I want to read a little bit from Sharon Salzberg here. This is, I sort of mentioned this last time, but I want to repeat this because this is really, really important. In practicing metta, we do not have to make a certain feeling happen. Somehow it's so easy to get into, oh, if I'm practicing metta, I'm supposed to be like this, have this really sweet heart filled with gushy love for every, it's like, and that may happen. And there's nothing wrong if that happens. You haven't got it wrong if you're full of this sweet feeling. But don't worry if you don't. Here's what, let me continue. In fact, during the practice, we may see that we feel differently at different times. Any momentary emotional tone, remember that all those sweet feelings that are arising in a moment of metta practice are just like every other thing. They arise, they're there for a while, and then they're going to be gone anyway. Right? They're just momentary arisings. Any momentary emotional tone is far less relevant than the considerable power of intention we harness as we say these phrases. So here we are, we keep coming back to this idea of intention, the second noble truth. Wise intention. We're forming the intention to have thoughts of loving kindness for ourselves or for this person, the benefactor. And that's what's important. Forming the intention and then acting based on that intention by repeating the phrases with the person in mind. As you repeat, may I be happy, may all beings be happy, we are planting seeds by forming this powerful intention in the mind. The seed will bear fruit in its own time. When I was practicing metta in Burma, at times when I repeated the phrases, I would picture myself in a wide open field planting seeds. It's a sweet image. Huh? Doing metta, we plant the seeds of love, knowing that nature will take its course. In time, those seeds will bear fruit. Some seeds will come to fruition quickly, some slowly, but our work is simply to plant the seeds. Just keep tuning into the energy as best we can. Every time we form the intention in the mind for our own happiness or the happiness of others, we are doing our work. We are channeling the powerful energies of our own mind. This is a mental training process and a heart training process. heart mind, right? Remember in these traditions, heart and mind are just two aspects of the same thing. We chitta, heart mind, is the Pali word. Okay. So we don't want to sort of get discouraged, like, oh, nothing's happening. Just sitting here for 10 minutes before we started, and you saying it's meta for self, you just planted some seeds. They're going to sprout. It's the law of nature, basically. And all we're trying to do is more and more often have thoughts of loving kindness towards other beings. That's what we're training our heart mind to be there more often. And this practice takes time. It takes a long time. And it may be that you plant those seeds and nothing's going to happen for who knows, 5 years. We don't know. So the, and we don't want it for 1 second, sort of, well, I'll do this for 6 weeks or 7 weeks and I'll see what happens. And if it works great, otherwise, I'm going to go do Tai Bo instead, or whatever else we want to do next, right? We have to sort of just, this becomes how we operate in the world. We operate from this open heart mind full of loving kindness all the time. That's the ideal. Notice I said ideal. Reality will, of course, be different because we're human beings, and sometimes we're going to operate from in the world from spaces of grumpiness and anger. That's just because we're human beings. Less often, that's what we're trying to do. So, what we're going to do tonight in our actual practice session, which is coming up soon, is we're going to sort of split the time in two. Half the time for self, and then half the time for benefactor. For those of you here online with me right now, I will mention now switch to benefactor. For those of you who are listening to this as a recording, just however much time you're going to set aside now to practice before you go on to the end of this recording later, just divide it in half, whatever it is, and half for self, half for benefactor. Having said that, I want to point out one more important thing. For some people, metta for self is just so important that it might be that, yeah, I understand what Barry's saying, and it sounds really nice. One day, maybe I'll have a benefactor and have thoughts of loving kindness for them. But right now, what I need to do is have loving kindness for myself. That's what I feel. It really clearly, that's what I need in this world right now. This would be perfectly good practice. Perfectly good practice. It's always okay to do what feels right. As long as you have the intention, here's that word again, to gradually tune into these other categories and expand your practice over time. The other thing is, now we have, like, we tuning into what the meaning of the phrases is for ourself, and having this image of self or this felt sense of self. Now we have this benefactor, and so now as we're thinking about what the phrases mean, it's like, what does that mean for them? Which might be quite different than they mean for you. And so we have to be aware of that as well, so that we adapt our sense of what these phrases mean based on who we're actually working with. For instance, perhaps your benefactor is older, maybe not that have great health. Maybe you have great health. But then you get to, may you be healthy, and it's like, oh yeah, this person's really not very healthy at all. And so you have to sort of tune into that. Like, oh, maybe, my intention is more like, maybe be as healthy as you can be. given, and in your mind, it's like, given all the circumstances, because you know all about this person's health problems, don't start thinking about all that stuff, but just be aware that the energy of the phrases is different for different people. Maybe this is a really wonderful person, but they really struggle just to sort of get by in the world. So, may you live with ease might mean something totally different than you, who maybe live with ease all the time. And whatever your personal circumstances are, everyone's different. So you need to tune into the actual meaning of the phrases for that person. And then, as far as the visualization is concerned, what I've always found, and what I've heard recommended by other teachers as well, is it's good to visualize them in some situation where you really felt them being your benefactor. Maybe this is some teacher and you used to go to their office and hang out and learn from them, or your boss, or maybe you're sitting with your aunt on the porch, because that's where she always taught you the important things you had to learn, and she was just that sort of person. Whatever. So make sure the visualization has a location, in the sense of, this is where things happen between us in this benefactee, which us role, because that'll help make the connection again, because you're remembering something. Okay, so that's the plan. So now I'd like you just to settle into your seats, close your eyes. I'll lead you into a metta for self, and then about halfway through this half hour or so of practice, I'll switch to metta for the benefactor. So you want to make sure you're sitting up straight, but not at all tense. Remember, with metta practice, unlike some other forms of meditation, comfort is really important. It's hard to feel thoughts of loving kindness for yourself or anyone else if you're also tense, if you're forcing anything. So, without sort of slouching and being too laid back, you want to sort of be comfortable. And then you spend a little bit of time, maybe the next 30 seconds, just thinking about what those phrases mean for you. And perhaps also thinking what actual form of those four phrases you're going to take tonight. Maybe you're still experimenting with different forms, so pick one particular set of phrasing, and use that set of phrasing for the entire sit. Get that image of self in the mind. See, or get a sense of the physical body, of that there is a body sensation. How all of those massive variety of physical sensations we can be mindful of, we put them all together, we get the sense there is a body. That's who you are wishing, sending these thoughts to, in a sense. And then we just start slowly repeating the phrase. Oh, you don't want to rush. I'll just say the traditional phrases a few times and sort of lead us into it. And then I'll just shut off my mic and we'll just sit for a while. Eventually, I'll come back and get us to switch to the next person. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then just continue saying the phrases holding an image in the mind, keeping tuned into the meaning. Remember, if you get to that place where everything seems sort of dry and nothing cooking, it's always okay to go back and sort of reboot, spend another 30 seconds tuning into the meaning of the phrases. Do what you can to sort of get that image or that sense of self sharper, and then start again. It's always okay. Or if the mind wanders, just start again. It's always okay.